Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm ending a series that I've taught for 4.5 weeks on how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, I really enjoyed this. I think that God has used this teaching to touch a lot of people and just give you a purpose and let you know that you aren't an accident, that God has a purpose, a destiny for you. And I believe it's not only stirred you up, but it's given you some very practical steps about how to discover that destiny and then walk it out and fulfill it. Over the last week, I've been teaching on following the desires of your heart. And I've taken this primarily from Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, where it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." That's not saying that God will give you whatever you want, even if it's ungodly, if it's sin. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that when you put God first, God puts His desires in your heart and leads you through those desires. And then on our program yesterday, I was using this scripture from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 that says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And I was giving a personal testimony that really one of the very first scriptures that just transformed my life is this verse right here in Colossians 3, 15. And here's the instance. I had just made a total commitment of my life to the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968. And then when I did that, everything else that I had ever desired or wanted just paled in comparison. And I fell so in love with the Lord, I just wanted to put God first. And immediately, I was in the first year of college at this time. I was excited about college, but I mean, my desires just flip-flopped totally to where instead of enjoying college, I hated it. I just felt like this is not what God has for me. And let me just put a little parenthesis here. I'm not against college. If you're going to have some kind of a job where you need the education and a college degree, there's certainly nothing wrong. There's no premium on ignorance. That's not what I'm saying. But this wasn't what God led me to do. And so immediately, one of the ways that God started leading me to drop out of college and put my life in a different direction was through just the desires of my heart. But when I made this statement, I just naively thought that people would be thrilled to think that I'm going to follow God and do what He tells me to do. And I found out they weren't. My family got very upset. The leaders of my church told me you couldn't be a Christian if you say that God told you to quit school. They actually threatened to vote me out of the church I was in. And I didn't respond as kindly as I would now. I just said, go ahead and try it. I grew up in this church. They love me more than they love you. They'll vote you out before they vote me out. That's not the right way to respond. But I'm saying that they threatened me with voting me out of the church. And then I was going to lose money if I quit school because I had $350 a month coming from the government as long as I stayed in school. Plus, I lost my student deferment from the draft if I quit school. So I was probably going to get drafted and sent to Vietnam. So this was the situation. And when all of these people responded negatively and they pointed out to me I was going to lose money, I could be drafted, I could go to Vietnam, I could get killed. Well, I stayed in school because of the pressure of everybody else's opinion and these natural things. But in my heart, I just hated it. I was grieved. You know, words fail me. Honestly, some of you think that this is a small thing. It's not a big thing. But at the time, it was the most traumatic thing that had ever happened in my life. I just hated school. I do not have the words to tell you how much I hated this. And I think it's because in my heart, I knew that God was leading me in a different direction. And God put a holy hatred, dissatisfaction for just doing things the way that everybody else wanted me to do. And so God was pulling my heart one direction, and yet my actions were going in another direction. And it really bothered me. It really did. You know, as a matter of fact, for about 25 years after I quit school, I had a reoccurring nightmare, and I mean it was a nightmare, where for at least once every 6 months, or it could have been more than that, but at least twice a year, I would have a dream that I was in a university someplace, and it was time to go to class, and I didn't know where my locker was. I didn't know where my books were. I didn't know where the class was. And I mean, it was, you know, everybody has these dreams where it's like you're trying to run and you're in mud or something and you just can't do it and it's frustrating. Well, mine always centered around somehow or another being back in school and trying to figure out, what am I doing here? I thought God told me to quit. And I mean, for 25 years, I had dreams like that long after I'd resolved this issue in my conscious mind. I was still dreaming about it. And it was like 25 years later that I joined this church in Colorado, and Dan Funkhauser was the pastor there. And Dan Funkhauser is a great guy. There's a lot of great things about him. But one thing about Dan Funkhauser is he just really doesn't care much what people think about him. He really doesn't. He's one of the most secure guys I know. And like when he invited me to come to the church, he says, I've told people that what you're teaching is of the devil. I've told them to burn tapes and books about this. Then he came around to realize that it was true, and he embraced it, and he said, come into my church and help me teach him. And I said, but Dan, you've taught against this. What if they like my teaching and don't like yours? And he says, you know what? If they'd rather have you as pastor, I'll turn the church over to you and I'll go start another one. I mean, there's not very many people that are that secure that would allow you to do that. And of course, you know, I didn't take advantage of that situation, but I'm saying he was just a secure guy. And the reason I bring this up is because the last time I ever had one of those dreams about me being back in school, the only time in my dreams that I ever actually made it to class, the rest of those dreams, it was always the struggle of trying to figure out where to go or what's happening, and I never made it to class. In this last dream, I actually found myself sitting in class. And I was there, and I was listening to this person lecture, and I was in one of those desks where the arm folds down, and you fold it up, and it makes a desk. And I was sitting there, and I was just so despondent about, what am I doing here? I had my head down on my desk, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up, and it was Dan Funkhauser, my pastor. He was in my dream. And when I saw him, I said, Dan, what are you doing here? And he said, the question is, what are you doing here? He says, you know God told you to quit school. Why do you care what people think about you? Get out of here and forget it. And you know what? I mean, it just set me free. And so we both got up and walked out. And I remember closing the door in this dream. And I stuck my head back in the classroom and I just spoke this. And I said, I'll never have this dream again. I mean, my dreams, it's amazing. I can recognize I'm dreaming while I'm dreaming. And I just said, I'll never have this dream again. That's been like 15 years and it was over. But anyway, I just say that to illustrate that this was a traumatic experience in my life, because it was the very first time after I really committed my life to the Lord that I felt God gave me a direction. And I mean, I had family, I had the leaders of the church, I had the government, I had wisdom, I had everybody. There wasn't a single person that supported me in my decision that I was going to quit school. And so because of it, I went ahead and went through and finished that school year, but I was just torn in pieces. And then one night I got this scripture, Romans 14:23, and the last part of that verse says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it just dawned on me that sin isn't only going out here and robbing or lying or stealing. Sin is when you feel this is what God wants you to do, and yet you go in this direction because of family or your church leaders or fear of failure or finances or the draft or any of these things I was dealing with. And I realized that I wasn't in faith. To the best of my ability, I would have to say God was telling me to quit school, but I wasn't doing that, and I saw that as sin. And typically, I would have stayed up until 1 or 2 o'clock every night, fellowshipping with my friends and praying and studying the Word and doing things like this, and I just decided, when I saw that, I told them, bye. I went home, I got before God, and I started saying, God, you've got to give me an answer. I'm going to make a decision. I am not going to be in sin tomorrow. I'm going to make a decision. And that's when the Lord led me to this verse and said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So I considered my options of staying in school. And there was some benefit, again, financially, a deferment from the draft. It pleased my family. It would have gotten religious leaders off my back. And I felt some peace, and that was good. But when I considered it, overall, I just didn't feel peace about staying in school. But when I considered getting out of school, you know what? I didn't feel peace about possibly being drafted and sent to Vietnam and dying. That didn't necessarily give me a feeling of peace. I didn't feel peace about losing the finances that I needed. I didn't feel peace about having my mother and my brother and sister and all of my relatives and the leaders of the church ragging on me. And so I was trying to let this verse work, let the peace of God rule in your heart. But I didn't feel total peace with either one of these. And so I knew that God was speaking this to me, but I didn't know how to apply it. And here's the way that the Lord spoke it to me. And this really helped me. And I believe that God is speaking to some of you today. If you will pay attention and make the application to your life, this could be just as dramatic for you as it was for me. I was considering these options, didn't feel total peace about either one. And I said, God, I'm trying to let the peace of God rule in my heart, but I don't have total peace in any direction. And here's the way the Lord put it to me. He said, if somebody put a gun to your head and cocked it and said, choose right now between these, and if you choose wrong, I'm going to kill you. He said, if you had to make a decision, which I did have to make a decision because I'd already made a commitment. I wasn't going to be in sin tomorrow. I was going to make a decision one way or the other. So I had to make a decision. And if that decision would cost you your life, which it could, if I made the wrong decision back at this time and got drafted and sent to Vietnam, there's a good chance I could have been killed or maimed in some way. And so, I mean, this was life and death. He says, if you had to make a decision and if it cost you your life, which one do you feel the most peace about? Now, I didn't feel total peace about either, but you know what? If I was forced and if it was going to be life and death, then I guarantee you I had the most peace about quitting school because that's what I felt in my heart. And even though I still had questions and I knew it was going to cause problems, I felt the most peace. Now, there was no question about that. And so based on this verse and based on the way that the Lord put it to me about you've got to make a decision, and if it cost you your life, which one do you have the most peace about? I decided to quit school. And of course, when I did, people got upset. I lost the government support. I got drafted and I got sent to Vietnam. And some people would say, well, boy, look, it was the wrong decision. You know, looking back at it 41 years later, that was the best decision I have ever made in my life. It started my life down a road that it would have been very hard for me to miss what God's doing in my life. And I mean, I was only about 2 months old in the Lord. Now, I'd been born again for 10 years, but I'd never had any dynamic relationship with God. From the time I had made this total commitment of my life to the Lord, I was only 2 months down that road, and I made this decision that could have cost me my life. And looking back at it, it's one of the best things that ever happened. You know, when that happened, I was a Baptist, and I'm not against the Baptists. God used them in my life to get me born again and get me some foundational stuff. I'm not against them, but I'm saying I was a Baptist when I made that decision. When I went to Vietnam, I didn't have anything else to do, and so I just spent anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a day studying the Word. I had no intention of changing and leaving the Baptist church. But after 13 months of being in the Word of God 15 hours a day, when I got out of the Army and went back to my Baptist church, I found out I wasn't a Baptist anymore. I found out they didn't want me anymore. Now that I spoke in tongues and now that I've flowed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and saw healings and things, they didn't want it. And you know, in retrospect, God did a work in me that I'm not sure could have been accomplished any other way than if I hadn't have been drafted and hadn't have been isolated for 13 months. That's where I got my Bible school. And it was just a tremendous decision, and it all came by me just letting the peace of God rule in my heart. And let me put with that another passage of Scripture out of the book of James. It's talking about the power of the tongue, and it says in verse 3, James chapter 3, verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And this is talking about our tongue is like a small member, like a bit, and you can turn about your entire body with that. And then in the next verse it says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And the Lord led me to this right after I was making this decision about letting the peace of God rule in my heart. He brought me to this and he said, a rudder gives direction to his ship. But he said, if the ship is sitting still, you can flip the rudder 360 degrees and it won't give any direction to the ship. The ship has to be moving for a rudder to guide it. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, you know, since I was tentative and scared about making this decision, he says, you just make the decision. And then as you start moving in the direction that you feel the most peace, he said, I am going to bear witness and either show you that you made the right decision or the wrong decision. But he says, I can't steer you as long as you're in indecision. Or here's another way of saying this. The Lord told me that indecision is a sin. But if I was to make a decision, and even if it's the wrong decision, but if I made it to the best of my ability in faith, God would be pleased with me making the wrong decision, but doing it in faith. He would be more pleased with that than he would me sitting there and making no decision out of fear. Now, that's a strong statement. And I guarantee you, there's some of you watching this program right now that if you just had all restraints removed, if what people had to say and if finances were removed and if your health situation was removed and, you know, there could just be all kinds of things. If you were to remove all of the restrictions and the things that are holding you back and just say, what's in your heart? What is it that you have peace about doing? There's many of you that would be moving in a different direction than your life is going right now. And yet, you are staying in this place of indecision. You aren't following the peace of God that's in your heart. And many of you have convinced yourself or let other people convince you that that's wisdom, when the truth is it's just unbelief and it's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the Lord told me, start moving. And once you start moving, I'll either confirm to you that you made the right decision or I'll show you that you've made the wrong decision and you can adjust and you can do something. And so that's what I did. I made this decision and I mean the peace of God just came over me and I was able to go to sleep that night. I got up the next morning and I went to the three people who I'd gone to a lot of different people for counseling and asked their opinion. And I went to the three people who had criticized me the most. One of them was my youth director in the Baptist church, the one who was present the night that the Lord touched me, and he was the one who was praying and brought so much conviction on me, and he had been a real dominant influence in my life. And he just came down completely on the side of my mother, and he says, you don't quit school, you obey your mother. Now, my mother had backed up to the point that she said, if this is what God is telling you to do, do it. So she gave me an open door on that decision. But he said, don't you do it. He told me it was of the devil. And I mean, he just came down on me like a wet coat of paint. He just covered me with rebukes and stuff and let me have it. I went to see him. And I just walked in and I said, I've made my decision. He said, what is it? And I said, I'm quitting school. I believe that's what God told me to do. And he just looked at me and instead I was braced for him to let me have it. He says, if that's your decision, I'll support you. And man, to me, what a confirmation that was. And then I went to this other lady. She was actually a high school teacher that had been one of my teachers. And she was a Christian and we had talked about the Lord. And I went to her and asked her about this. And she was a good friend of my mother because my mother was a school teacher. And so this woman just rebuked me. I mean, she got mad at me and let me have it for thinking that I would dare quit school. And she thought that by doing so, she was supportive of her friend, my mother. And she had just blasted me. And she says, you let me know what your final decision is. So the next day after I made this decision to let the peace of God rule in my heart, I went to Mrs. Ellis at Harlington High School. And I just walked into her. I caught her during a break. And I said, I've made my decision. And she said, what is it? And I said, God spoke to me and I'm quitting school. God told me that He's got different plans for my life. And I was braced for her to just let me have it. And you know what happened? She got tears in her eyes. And she looked at me and she said, I'd give anything to be like you. And I was just totally shocked. And I said, why is that? And she says, because, you know, when you're 18 years old, she looked ancient to me. She might have been 40. I don't know what she was, but anyway, I looked at her as being this old lady, and she said, I'm however old she was, and she says, I don't know for sure that I'm doing what God called me to do. She said, I'd be anything to be young like you and know for sure that God has spoken to me and put my life on a course that is His choosing. And you know what? After those, and I visited with one other lady, and after those three things, they were the ones who were the most dead set against me quitting school. And yet once I made a decision, it's just like there was a favor of God that was on me that every person I shared it with came around and started saying, man, go for it. And I mean, after 4 or 5 hours of that, you know what? I never had a doubt about it. I never turned back on it. And I tell you, it just propelled my life in a direction. And I look back at that now. You know, I'm turning 60 this week. And I look back at the decision I made when I was 18. And I look back at that, and it's amazing. It's amazing to me. If I had a person coming to my school who was in that same situation and had all of these negatives associated with making a decision, and if I was to see them stand and make a decision with not one single person on the face of the earth supporting them and encouraging them, and yet they stood and made a decision like that, you know, I would be super impressed. And looking back at what happened, I'm just amazed. And you know how all of this came to pass was this verse and this principle that I'm telling you about just letting the peace of God rule in my heart. Man, I feel so privileged that God revealed that to me back 42 years ago and showed me this, and I made a decision, and I tell you, I have never regretted it. And I followed this same principle just hundreds, maybe thousands of times, and it's been supernatural the way that God has used this in my life. I don't regret it at all. And I can truthfully say I don't feel like that following the peace that's in my heart has ever led me wrong. Matter of fact, I've already shared some of the stories with you about how I didn't follow the peace that was in my heart and got in trouble for not doing that. I don't think that ever following the peace of God in my heart has ever gotten me in trouble, but not following it has caused me grief a number of times. And so I just offer this to you. When we're talking about how to fulfill your destiny, you've got to follow the peace that God puts in your heart. Or as Psalms 37:4 says, you have to delight yourself in the Lord, and then God puts His desires in your heart, and He starts guiding you through these desires. Now, there's a big if here that if you are seeking God with all of your heart, then you can trust those desires. Then you can let the peace of God rule in your heart. But you know, if you aren't really committed to God, if you aren't seeking God with your whole heart, you can't trust the peace that's in your heart. You can't trust the desires that come into your heart. And so this may not be for everybody. You ought to be able to know whether you are truly sincere seeking the Lord. But for those of you who've made that decision, you need to quit doubting the direction that God gives you through the desires of your heart and through the peace that's on the inside of you. This is a valid way of following the direction of the Lord. And I tell you, if you would just do that and make some of these decisions like I described on the program today, I think this would change your life. Now, I'm out of time today, but we will continue to teach on our program tomorrow. I'm going to start a brand new series, but this teaching that I've done on destiny, we have it in CD. We also have a DVD as seen on TV, and then we have these Destiny Series DVDs. Please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories Volume 1 is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Following the Desires of Your Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT-122C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer you these products. We've got the CD set that is a teaching on how to fulfill your destiny, and then I have this Destiny Series DVD that is the testimony of four different groups of people. We've got two singles, or actually three singles and two couples, but these testimonies are the ones that we've been airing on our program. I tell you, they're faith builders. This would be tremendous for you. You know, if you have some young people or somebody, it doesn't have to be young people, but people that are looking for direction, this would inspire them. So today's our last day to make these materials available. Please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. In South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 21st through the 23rd. And in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th, and in Little Rock, Arkansas, August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Coming to Caris Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the word of God that we've sat under in the Andrews ministry has really influenced our writing so much. And it changes you because the word changes you, has power to change you. The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's word and they love worship.
New this fall at Caris Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information.